Welcome to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling. Do you believe you are capable of choosing your future? Sometimes it takes just one person to believe in you, or you to believe in yourself. If you find yourself continuing to say, someday I will take better care of myself, only to continue living the same day over and over and over again, then you, my friend, are in the right place. I am your biggest cheerleader, inspiring you to become you on purpose and with intention. Are you ready to create a life you love? I'm excited to share with you some big ideas that you can use today to inspire, impact, and influence your life and everyone in it. The Becoming You Show starts now. Hello, my friends. How are you? I hope you're having a great month. How is it going, right? Have you checked in with your day, your week, this month, this year? Like, it's going to be June and 6 months are gone. What's been going on? And how have you been showing up? Have you noticed? Have you been intentional about it? Never with judgment, right? Of course, just with curiosity. That's the work, remember? So I just got back from an amazing cruise, part work, part pleasure, and I met so many fascinating people. I'm involved in a mastermind where the people are top-notch. They hold high regard for what I would consider the highest values: kind, abundant-minded, collaborative. And to be part of this group is a true honor, and I am incredibly grateful. And on this cruise, this was a Smiles at Sea cruise, I was asked to propose three questions that would help people taking part of this cruise to kind of better understand the work that I do, that we do. I'd like to think that you're here with me and that we're doing this work together. And three questions, that's it. So in answering three questions, the cruise guests get a flavor of who I am and what I do. So I thought I would share them with you and expand on them in a way that I thought of only after, naturally. And so I hope that they will get you some new insights as well. I'm also going to shed some light on the lies that we have been led to believe to be true. And a little caveat, the answer to these questions, I'm just going to pose right now, are seemingly obvious. Yet people have been misguided and have been misinformed about them. I believe two things. First, if we continue living based on the answers that we think are true, we will no doubt limit our ability to become more of who it is that we are. And secondly, I truly believe that the reason we find ourselves stuck wondering if this is all there is because we have wrong answers to these questions, either that, or we just plain are asking the wrong questions. So, but before I get to the questions and the answers, I wanted to share with you the walkout song that I chose. Now, there were lots of them to choose. And if you feel like you have a really good one, let me know. But I received some amazing ones from the leader of this mastermind, Elijah Desmond. And I played a few of the recommendations that I received for my kids. And Logan and Max were playing. They were just like, yeah, they're all great. You know, not very helpful. And Levi, my middle one, was like, none of them are great. Again, not very helpful. But as the days passed, a good friend of mine said, oh my gosh, Leah, you need to listen to Trustfall by Pink. It's awesome. I hadn't even listened to one word, nor did I know what kind of beat that it had, but I knew that this was going to be my song. And if you haven't heard it, listen to it. I won't break down all the lyrics, although Actually, that would be a really amazing podcast, but for a different day. But basically, the words imply that we live in a world where we are conditioned to believe that there's not supposed to be adversity, that people are supposed to be more like how we want them to be and less like they are. We've been conditioned to believe that we are time and experience poor, and we just simply lack the courage and motivation and willpower to do the things that we want. And assuming that is that we know what we want, all of these conditioned beliefs steal our trust, steal our faith, and our ability to fail. And if we're not willing to fail, we will never move forward. And this song represents so much of what I teach, and so much of what I teach is actually the unlearning of what we think we know. So with that in mind, let's get into the questions. So the first question that I asked was, why don't people do what they know? Now, if you've been listening to me for a while, or if you're a client or have taken one of my programs or courses, you know the answer, right? Loss of motivation, loss of willpower. No, right? That's what people think. The reason you don't do what you know has nothing to do with lost motivation. Actually, I would challenge that there is no such thing, right? You didn't lose your motivation. It's not like you can search up the house to find it. It's not like you can just order some more of it on Amazon to replace it. You haven't lost motivation. You have just stopped looking at it. So that's the first lie that I wanted to call out, right? The second lie is that people think they just need more willpower. If they had more willpower, then they would stick to whatever it is that they knew how to do. But we don't need more willpower. For willpower, by definition, is fleeting. It's temporary. Why would we want to summon up a short-lived resource? Not to mention, when your willpower fades, and it will, not because you are weak, not because something is wrong with you, not because you lack discipline, character, and stamina, but because you are solving the problem with the wrong solution. The problem, right, remember, is doing what you know. The solution, willpower, okay? And what's worse is that when you rely on willpower, we will inevitably be frustrated with ourselves. Okay, it looks like this. Leah, I know that I should get more sleep, fill in the blank. I should work out more. I should eat more on plan. I should drink more water. I should drink less alcohol, whatever it is. I should eat cleaner, take my supplements, work out more, drink all of that, have more date nights, work less. And I do it consistently for a few days, even a few weeks. And then I go back to doing what I've always done. Why is it that I don't have more willpower? This is what they ask me. And when I share with them, are you sure it's willpower that you want to work on? They usually pause. Like they look at me like, maybe? And here's the thing. I'm not anti-willpower. I just want you spending time, energy, and resources on the right solution, a sustainable solution, a long-lasting solution, okay? So if more motivation and willpower isn't the way, what is? It's knowing, truly knowing that people don't do what they know. We've been conditioned to believe that here's the blueprint, here's the strategy, here's the step-by-step directions to X, Y, and Z, and yet we fail to execute. Even though we recognize that people don't do what they know, we are still trying to know more. Here's the thing. People don't do what they know. They do who they are as a thinking, feeling state of being. This is how human behavior works. We believe we take action, right? We do what we know in order to get the results that we want so that we can feel a certain way. And we have it wrong. We don't do what we know. We do what we feel like. Our feelings fuel the action we either take or we don't take. And our emotions are derived from our thought states. We think, we feel, we act in that order. Just like any other recipe, You can't mess the recipe up. Otherwise, your cake won't look like cake. Okay? There is an order to our human behavior, and therefore there is an order to the change that we want. Now, there is some emotional body work, right, that might manipulate that order, right? But regardless, the action we take is always after the thinking feeling state or the feeling thinking state. So if we want to truly do, right, take action on what we know, it starts with shifting thinking states and feeling states of being. In other words, if we want to do what we know, we have to unbecome who we have been. That's the unlearning part that I was sharing with you earlier. Okay, so that was the first question. Here was the second question. Why do people need a coach? Okay, well, let's start with another question. Okay, why do people hire a coach typically, right? They hire a coach in hopes that the coach will tell them what to do, right? Give them that execution blueprint, how to get from A to B. They hire a coach to hold them accountable to the benchmarks. So why do people need a coach? When I ask this question, I get a similar answer. I want to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it by, and I want to have someone hold me accountable to it. Now, since we just had the conversation above about why it is that we don't do what we know, how effective is hiring a coach from this standpoint going to be? Not. And again, I can say that because I coached in action. I coached from the A line. I would tell people exactly what to do. I would give them a step-by-step map to get there. And yet, 50% of the time, right, they would not follow through. This was not their fault. This was my fault. I was coaching them on the wrong thing, right? I was solving a problem with the wrong solution, and I was actually asking the wrong questions. I was coaching and hold them accountable to what they did or did not do instead of coaching them to be who they needed to be. I overcoached the do and was oblivious to the be, the thinking, feeling state of being. So we don't need coached on what to do. Trust me. Trust me. You are a Google search away from knowing what to do. Ask a friend. Heck, ask anyone, right? We're all very good at giving advice on what to do. But none of that is going to matter if you are not managing your thoughts and regulating your emotions, choosing on purpose. You can have the very best strategy, the very best plan, and it won't work if you don't. Have you ever noticed this? Have you ever wondered why a certain plan or course or strategy works for other people, other teams, other practices? They have success, massive success in the implementation, but it doesn't work for you? How could that be? It's not the blueprint. It's not the strategy. It's the being behind it. And yet we blame it on the plan. We blame it on our willpower and our motivation. And we forget that we play a critical role in the execution. The execution is only as effective as the human being doing the execution. So now, right, that we got that lie out of the way, why do we need a coach? We need a coach because we have brains. We have brains that are misguided and that have created false formulas that we have then been conditioned to live by. And we create our own glass ceilings with them, our own invisible traps, our conditioned identities, our I statements. Statements like, I lack willpower. I lost my motivation. I don't have enough confidence. I can't fail. I just want everyone to get along. I don't want people to be disappointed. I don't have time for self-care. I want people to like me. I don't have time at all. Now, all of these seem like pretty little thoughts, but they're all toxic. A podcast for another day. Another reason we need a coach is that we can't learn what we think we know, and we can't get out of the trap if we don't know we're in one. So first, we need to unlearn programming. Just like you would wipe clean a hard drive to reset, to reboot, to renew. That is what's required in our brain. A complete reset. A reset of our I am statements. A reset of our I am statements. A reset about our beliefs. Our beliefs about money, about time, about people, about love, about health, about weight, about all of them. And then we create and choose on purpose, consciously, new code. Code written in possibility and not in preconditions. Now, I coach primarily dentists. Not sure who choose who, right? But dentists have, by nature of the business, a very exacting and preciseness about them. Think about it. To get it right in the op is a fraction of a millimeter. And when we take that very exacting, perfectionistic way out of the op and into our life, we unnecessarily overwhelm ourselves because we are chasing a way of being that is unavailable. And we exhaust ourselves, overrunning, overworking, overdoing. And we isolate ourselves because, God forbid, we raise our hand and ask for help, because that would be considered weak. And being weak and failing are not options, a gift that we can thank dental school for. And so we dread Sundays because we have to do it all over again on Monday. And we wonder if this is all there is. And if not, then what? And our identities are tied to our profession. And when we doubt our profession, we doubt ourselves. And when we doubt ourselves, we lose trust and faith in ourselves to make decisions, to scale, to lead, to serve. And then we seek mentorship and advisement and support from people telling us what to do. But as you know, knowing what to do and doing what you know are two very different things. So we take what people tell us to do. And if we actually do it, then as problems arise, as they will from the solution that they provided, then we will be forever indebted to them for the next solution, leaving us feeling discouraged and frustrated. Now, if we don't implement what they offered, then we will beat ourselves up for not following through. And then we will shame ourselves for not doing what we know. But not doing what other people told us to do, right? And then we will continue to feel frustrated and exhausted and overwhelmed. So the key is to learn how to choose who we want to be and break the habit of who we have been and learn to trust our own knowing, restoring faith in ourselves. That is the reason that we all need a coach, myself included, because I can't see my brain and my brain either. And I have false formulas and I have sabotaging thought loops, even though I've been doing this work for decades, right? So when we look to hire a coach, it isn't so that they can tell us what to do. We know what to do. We just have to invite ourselves into trusting that knowing. Okay. The last question I got to answer was, why are people difficult? Okay. So I asked the room, right, by show of hands, if they had anyone in their life that was difficult, maybe a team member, maybe their spouse, maybe their children. And as you can imagine, most, if not all, raised their hands. And I shared with them the best news ever. And this is what I shared with them. People are not difficult. We make them difficult by way of our thoughts. They do something or say something and we frustrate ourselves, okay, by way of our thinking. Nothing we experience is outside of ourselves. You have to know that, right? Not for my benefit, but for your benefit. Nothing we experience is outside of ourselves. Do you see how this is awesome news? If we have to rely on other people to change and to be different so that we can feel better, that would suck. Okay? People are not difficult, even if everyone agrees. Why? Because you can't take said person and get them tested for being difficult. You can't take them into your doctor's office and say, hey, doc, can you see if this person tests positive for being difficult? No. People are difficult is not a fact. Okay, it's a thought. Difficult conversations, not a fact. It's a thought. We make them difficult. So the invitation, right, is either we need to let go of said difficult person, okay, or we need to let go that they're difficult. We need to let go of the thought that they're difficult, because if you don't, you will continue to confirm your thought true. You will continue to filter them through the lens of being difficult, finding more proof that you're right, right? On probably something that you don't want to be right about. And even if you do want to be right, guess who suffers thinking that they are difficult? You do. They don't feel your frustration. You do. So unless you let go of the thought that they are difficult, they will forever be difficult. And you will unknowingly show up creating more difficult situations for you, for them, for your life, for your practice, in your team, and for the culture. So those were my three questions. My hope was, by choosing these questions, right, it helped the conference guests come away with three things. Okay. One, we don't do what we know. We do who we are as thinking and feeling states of being. Okay. Two, every single human being on the planet needs a coach. Not because we need to be told what to do and how to do it, but to recode preconditions so that we can choose identity states in possibility, so that we can be the very best executioner of the blueprint of either our own design or one of a mentor or advisor, but knowing that the strategy is only going to be as strategic as the strategizer. Okay. The third thing that I wanted people to take away with is humans are not difficult. We make them difficult by our thoughts. Our thoughts are not facts. Our thoughts power everything. And yet, how often are we thinking about them intentionally? How often are we creating and choosing them on purpose? Knowing how to think and knowing how to feel and knowing how to shift identities is the work that I do. Shifting thought states, shifting feeling states, breaking habits and models of being who you've been so that you can become someone new. That's the work. How I do it, through my B method, through the result formula, through frameworks and mental models and emotional models. And so if you don't have a coach, I would love to be yours. But if not me, get one. Why am I so passionate about it? Because as long as we are operating from preconditioned programming, we are unknowingly creating our own glass ceiling and then blaming our circumstances, blaming the plan, blaming the blueprint, blaming the strategy for being ineffective. I don't think it is possible to tap into the immense potential that you are, your gifts, your genius, without someone to help you see your brain in your brain. We all need a computer programmer. And if we want something different in our life, something more, we need a new operating system, right? Not to implement in our business, but to implement in our mind. And I believe that is available to you when you get coached. So if you don't have a coach, get one. If you want to know more about coaching, jump on a strategy call with me and let's see what power sentences that you're operating from and see if we can recode one or two and just let you live into that for a week or two and see how it transforms how you show up in your life and how you live it all out. That's what I want for each and every one of you. You can find me at www.leahrolling1l.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram. Find me, message me. I want to connect with you. Have an amazing and blessed day. Take care, everyone. Talk to you soon. Bye.
You have been listening to the Becoming You Show with me, your host, Leah Rowling, where I share big ideas to inspire, impact, and influence your life. Tune in every Friday at 11 Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com for your morning cup of coffee, the hug you never want to end, and that inspirational message that you felt was written just for you. Each show is inspiring you to become you.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.